Sunday night, Chavis Halvavas Women's Shear. We're in the Hakdama to Chavis Halvavas. And we're in the Hakdama, and I want to go back a little. We learned this really last week, but I felt I didn't do a good job. So maybe I won't do a better job this week. I'll do my best, you know, that's all. But maybe I feel like I didn't even do my best last week. Okay. So, now I have to find it in my... He's looking, why isn't there a Sefer on Chovos HaLevavos? And he, this reason, that reason, and he's searching. He can't believe that there's no Sefer on such major league obligations. The Amarti Ode... Shemahim Kolkach Mavuoros, maybe they're so clear, if you do it lakol. B'chol b'nei Admut Vekenben, and people are just naturally doing it. So nobody felt the need to compose a Sefer. Achelon etztorchu l'chaber b'sefer. Okay. V'iyanti min hagi b'nei Adam, so I observed people, I looked into it. Barov hadoros haniskorim b'sfarim, even previous generations that are mentioned in this forum that we have, umetzasim, and as I observed their lifestyles, as I studied their lifestyles, I found them to be rechokim min haminhazeh, min hamitzvos. They're far from these kinds of mitzvos. Only a few elhazrizim b'chirei haskula bohem, like what we call yichidei segula, k'vi hanizkar aleihem. And it's mentioned about how they davened and how they reacted to situations and how they were ma'aminim. Achashor, but regular people, kamoha yutzvichim lahoru lahorus olsom, it was so necessary to inspire them and to get them going. V'koshkein rovanshez manenu zeh, and certainly our generation, you see, it's... And this is 11th century in Spain. So imagine 1,000 years later. They're not even so careful as they should be about mitzvahs. He says people are really oblivious almost to this. And again, the Chavis HaLevavos, you know, you ask someone, when's the last time that you felt gratitude to Hashem for giving you food? Right? So you say, well, yeah, maybe by benching, right? if you take a bencher, and you know what the words mean, and you say, "Uftuvoh hagadol, tamid lo chosar lanu." Look, I'm alive. I always had what to eat. I always had sustenance. Al yechsal lanu mazon in the bed. Bavush mo hagadol ki ukel zon ufenes lakol. So, are you thankful for that? But people do not walk around that way. So they're oblivious to these mitzvahs. And if someone already is drawn and is willing to, like yudvenu libo, like we say by the Mishkan, he's drawn to Hashem's la'ayin b'chachmas haTorah, and he delves into the mitzvahs and the Torah. Chavis HaLevavos is very, very harsh, maybe a little... We were taken aback at the harshness of his language. Who miskavin ledover? I don't want to censor him though. We'll skip anything he says. He speaks very harshly about people that neglect to study what he considers the primary obligation of all. And you know, again, this is echoed. He wasn't the only, maybe the only one that spoke so harshly. But again, you know, like we saw the Ramban, famous Ramban, that says all the mitzvahs boil down to emunah. The Ramban we saw in Mor Nevuchim talks about, you know, most people are stuck circling the palace and don't even know the way to get in. So they talk, he speaks very sharply. He says, someone where he delves into Torah is, whom is kavin ledover sheyikori bochocha meitzulami ha'oretz. Something that makes him, that gives him honor. Now, he doesn't necessarily mean it badly. Let me stick up for these people. He doesn't necessarily mean that the person is looking for things that will give him, you know, self-aggrandizement. I'm not talking necessarily about a Baal Gaiva. But one of the main points the Chovos Halvavos makes about Chovos Halvavos is that it's very pnimi, and you really have to be a very strong person. You know, it sounds maybe, you know, it sounds easy, a bitachon and gratitude, but really it's very pnimi. No one's going to stand up for you. No one's going to say, wow, what a special person. Oh, I'd love your kids to be in my school. You know, but, right? We know what triggers those are the chitzonius things. And we know that, and that's why people are drawn to chitzonius. Again, you don't have to say it badly. You know, it's not like we want kavod. It's, you know, we wanna be looked on as successful. We want people to like us. We want people to hold of us. And this, by nature, puts an emphasis on things that people could see. People see how firm we are. They see what kind of clothes we wear. They see what kind of this and what kind of that, and that you know. And we memela neglect the things that what he calls chachmas hamitzpun, tzofon, hidden, where he holds the main work is hidden away. What's in your lathe? What's your attitude towards Hashem? How do you feel? And so that's what he says. Even if you delve into things, but people delve into things that bring him honor. Again, it doesn't mean honor in a bad sense, I think. It just means everybody wants personal fulfillment, you know, and we measure our personal fulfillment by how people view us. It's like personal achievement. V'yet miderech haTorah. And therefore, he runs the risk of straying away from Torah. El Masha lo yakneo maila yaseira. He stays away from things that don't bring him honor or recognition.
What's
yakneo?
What?
Yeah. The lo yinakehu mi michshol benafsho. This is a very powerful sentence. And memela, it doesn't keep him from falling into a trap. Now we find in the Gemara big Talmid Chachamim who turned out to be no good. Korach, a very great man, Korach. What happened? He was not protected against his jealousy. He was jealous. He couldn't stand the thought that someone pushed ahead of him in line. Yerovam ben Nevat was at first admired by the Navi, Achia HaShiloni, Eliyahu Navi's Rabbi. He said, a great man, he gave Shlomo HaMelech Musar. And then he did the worst Averis because he didn't have any protection. So Chavos doesn't say that, but he's not protected. So he was also Bal Gaiva. This is what really Korach and Yerovam ben Nevat. You have Achitofel, you have Doeg HaAdomi, if you learn Nachalol, you have like really big people. And they, so that's what he's saying here, you know, you could have really big people who are Nichshal, who are not really, they're not automatically saved because of their Torah knowledge. So again, I could have skipped this. I don't want to skip anything. This is what the Chovos Halvavos is saying. He's being very harsh, and he's pointing out that you have to develop the Chovos Halvavos. You know, and then you have to work on these things that are pnimi, and if your Torah learning is so that people look at you and hold of you, and it puts you in a good positions you puts you in a good position. So you're not saved. It doesn't protect you. Torah protects you from Torah refines you, and it's supposed to work. So it doesn't always work. Like you find these big people. So I think the key is in these four words. The lo yinakehu, it won't cleanse him, it won't stop him, it won't clean him, it won't prevent him. Mi michshol nafsho, because if his Torah learning is lo lishma, we'll call it. But it's very subtle shelo lishma. That's really, we're talking about a big subtlety. Because he's talking about someone that does not spend time on what he calls Chovos Halvavos, someone that doesn't spend time thinking about these things. Everything is from Hashem, and I have to appreciate everything Hashem does for me. And I, you know, and he works on, you know, and sometimes it's very, very hard. Sometimes. It's always hard. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes it's very, very hard. It's good. It takes a lot of work. These are tremendous nesionos. But you have to think about them. He wants us to think. This is his hakdam. He says, if you don't think and you don't study, and you know, and see, women have an advantage here over men, because men are busy doing what they're ostensibly obligated to do, which is learn Gemara, learn Halacha, learn. Right? And if they have 10 minutes a day for Chovos Halvavos, which apparently six people do, so, they feel great about themselves, and then they should. But women, you know, and like a guy, and if he goes to work and he learns, and if he would come to me and say, should I learn Chovos Halvavos for 3 hours a day? Or Gemara for 3 hours a day. So, I'm going to tell him to learn Gemara 3 hours a day. But the Chovos Halvavos wouldn't. We'll see. He's very harsh now. And he says people spend time, and they don't spend time developing their minds in what the foundations of... Now, again, you know, you could take the attitude that it's a tough call, you know. On one hand, you could say that's taka what's missing from our door, and maybe that's why the Haskalah happened, and that's, I mean, you know, you could speculate sociologically, you know, why Klal Yisrael looks the way it looks, and but there were tough times. Shabbos Tzvi was a very big smash to Klal Yisrael. Until the Holocaust, if you know history a little, Shabbos Tzvi depressed the whole Klal Yisrael for 100 years, 200 years. The Baal Shem Tov came and tried to lift up everybody's spirits, but Shabbos Tzvi was tremendous depression settled off the whole Klal Yisrael. So it's a big Nisayon. And then the Baal Shem Tov came, and then the Groh came. You see, the Groh really... See, that the Lithuanian world, the Groh channeled, this is my theory, don't listen to me. The Groh, it really, Klal Yisrael needed, we don't know, it was like the Holocaust. It was maybe, it's like the Holocaust, you know. The Holocaust, how depressing it is, you know, for Klal Yisrael. So the Holocaust, I don't know, you have the tremendous, unbelievable, you have Eretz Yisrael, right? What brought us out of that depression? Eretz Yisrael, an unbelievable explosion of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and then what's left in Chutz Laretz, we'll call it America, maybe can't, you know, I'll call it America. If there's any Canadians here, please excuse me. An explosion, and then an explosion in the birth rate. Explosion. You know, I don't know if Shisha Bekarasechot, but Shisha and Shisha Shonim is just as hard. And then, so the Baal Shem Tov came along, and the like really did Chavos Halavos. Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, every Jew is Chashuv, every Jew is a diamond, and you serve Hashem by loving Hashem and by having bitachon in Hashem, and that's really, and the Gro really took a different approach. And again, this is the way I see historically, like, and that's where the Litvish world came from, down to our days, Lakewood, Mir, Yeshivas, that their approach was to channel and then just to focus on learning, on scholarly learning and analysis, and just like immerse yourself in learning. But when we read Chovos Halvavos now, I'm giving a hakdama because I don't want to skip. But it's almost shocking how he has very harsh words against people who just learn, meaning at the expense of Chovos Halvavos. And, you know, the way the yeshivas learn nowadays is really what he condemns. Because a lot of, you know, the Gedolim who lead Klal Yisrael, we have leaders. We have Gedolei Hador who lead us. We're talking about Chaim Volozhin and on. And then in the 20th century, the Chafetz Chaim and the Gedolim in Europe, and Rav Aaron Kotler.
They had
Chazon Ish. Yeah, but it wasn't, you'll see the way he talks, you know. So there was a Musa movement, which had a very negative, very big fight, very big, but that was more Musa, it was more character refinement. It wasn't really what it's part of Chavis HaLavos, but it's, Chavis HaLavos is much more all-encompassing, because it talks about Emuna, and Avos Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and Bitochon, and Anova, another vis-a-vis Hashem. Right? It's not really talking about Midos. You know, Musar is where Rabbi Sol Salanter did come along and revolutionize the Jewish world, just like as much as the Baal Shem Tov did. But first of all, it was cut short, unfortunately.
Wasn't there resistance to it as well?
There was tremendous resistance in the Litvish world to it, because the Litvish world felt that you know, that their leaders were the Gron or Chaim Volozhin. I'm getting off subject.
There's a lot of incorporation of that now.
Yeah, nowadays, the Hasidim are not Hasidim, and the Misnagdim are not Misnagdim. Everything's one big cholent now. Everybody just, it's like there's no more Fleishas and Milchaks, it's just Fleishas Kapatz and Milchak Kapatz. Everything just absorbed taste. Nothing's real anymore. Everybody just picks and chooses, and a little of Breslov, and a little of Rav Kook, and a little of Chavis HaLovis, and a little of this, and a little of that. And maybe it's a good thing, and maybe it's not a good thing, you know, because it could be superficial, because we're living, the world has become tremendously superficial. Tremendously superficial. Even the internet, and even the way it makes your mind work. I talked about it in shul a few times. I mentioned the book called The Shallows, how our minds are affected, and nobody remembers anything anymore. Because why should I bother to remember anything if I can give a click and look it up again? And the concentration. However old he is, I don't know. So my son Eliyahu is a learning rabbi in a camp in Nechemiah's a camp, Adirim. I mean, so Eliyahu is a learning rabbi there. He comes home after the first day. He says to me, Tati, you're not going to believe this. I got 14-year-old kids in my learning group. So they walk in the first day and they say, Rabbi, you know, chaser li berikuz. And how do you say attention span? Like however you say it, I don't follow it. So like, go easy on me. Like you know, I'm ADD. You know? 14-year-old kids. Like, what do they know about ADD? Come on, they're not old enough to have ADD. I know. You're all gonna say maybe they.
That's from childhood now.
What? Okay, he made a good point. They walked in the first day, and like before the hello was, I'm ADD, so like don't expect too much of me. I don't concentrate well. I have a short attention span, you know, because the Rebbeim are not allowed to hit the kids anymore. If my Rebbeim never hit me, you could be sure I would have a short attention span also. You know. They're not. I was spoken to Rav Mendelson from Zichra Teres Moshe, one that ran the school, really. The one that was the banal of the school for 20 years, well, maybe 15 years. He told me, you know, we can't hit kids anymore. You know, I mean, they do, but officially they don't. My son got smacked plenty, Baruch Hashem. So I'm very old-fashioned. By me, the Rebbe's right, and the kid's wrong, and I don't want to hear any stories. That's how my parents treated me, and that's how I treat my kids. The Rebbe's right. Finished. End of story. I want to hear. But he was telling me that. You know, he's a pretty sophisticated guy. He's not a fool. He's a very smart fellow, very sophisticated fellow. He told me that, in his opinion, 50% of these ADD problems, or ADHD, would be solved if he could hit the kids. He said, not because then the kids would force themselves to concentrate. They would cure themselves, he said, because they would have a little fear of getting hit. They would, that's his lashon, they would cure themselves. And he says he believes 50% of them could cure themselves and don't need extra intervention. It's not heavy cases. If they would just, but there's no mora. There's no more mora in the classroom. And you're talking about an old fish and Yerushalmi Cheder came out. Like you're not talking about Avos Yisrael. You're talking about, like, you know, the Rebbeim are all Hasidish, they're still smoking away. You know, that they haven't dealt with yet. The Rebbeim, not in the classroom, though. But you come recess, the Rebbeim are all outside, looks like one big cloud of smoke. So, not in Torah's Moshe. That's a Zichra Torah's Moshe. I don't want anybody to make a mistake. Torah's Moshe does not allow smoking or hitting. Because we know we can't. I'm not saying it's such a great thing, but we know we can't. So that's it.
What? They can't have discipline without hitting.
The time honored way is it, okay, and a chanani, you know, but okay, let's not go into this now. We're living in I don't know how you people feel. It's just getting worse and worse, the superficiality of things. Even good things. I don't want to start darshaning now. Like I look at, you buy a Mishpacha magazine. Wonderful magazine, very Haredi, wonderful. No pictures of women. I once got a call. They were having a meeting about how to fabessa the magazine. This goes back around a year ago. And I'm connected to somebody who's a major writer there, and I know his father-in-law. So he asked me, like, what do I think? I said, Nebuch, it's like a magazine for nowadays. There's like 10 articles there. So you read it, and it's like superficial. And the happy article, and a sin article, and one article telling you about some disease you never heard of before, and an archaeology article. And this and that, and everywhere, and like we're so inundated with information that I don't believe, like, it's not like worth. If I was making a magazine, I would pick a topic for a month and delve into it from different angles. And like people would learn from it and get from it, like, you know, focus on one thing here. I mean, I don't know, how do people read Mishpacha magazine? I mean, we get it every week, very religiously. So you read it, you know. Then you read the next article. Then you read the next article. No, and it's interesting, but it's like a heftza of superficiality.
It's not an essay magazine.
I know, it's entertainment. It's entertainment. So that's a pity. At least Bina, I think they do devote each issue to like a topic. I think they have like a, they try to have a theme in each one. You know, that's pretty good already. They try to have a theme in each issue. They try to have a theme. Okay, you know. But we're living in a superficial world. Everything, you look at politicians nowadays, everything is superficial. Nobody, it's not real. It's very sad. We're living in a superficial world. So the Gedolim, I once had a discussion with Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz about this. He's very, very, he's not well. I don't mean he has cancer, by the way, but he has celiac disease. And he's suffering from it terribly. He really needs atfilos. He's a good man. Very, very solid person. Adam Gadol, I don't know, not for me to say. He's young still. You know, he has a lot to offer Klal Yisrael. And he's very, very weak. And he, anyways, I once had this discussion with him. So he told me he holds that the Gedolim picked the way they chose to go with concentration on learning and, you know, men's lumdas and the way the yeshivas are run. And it seems to us so many times to be severely lacking in the this is like attacks the way. But he said that's the Gedolim saw that as the only way to keep it going. Like, you know, you have to make it a certain degree of excitement, and you have to make it a little, you know, not superficial, but you have to give, or else who knows what will happen? Who knows where they'll go? There's so much stuff out there that you have to. He said that was like a psak, sort of. Nobody ever sat down and said these words, right? But it's become on. He says. So I don't know, you know, now we have off the derech phenomena, and we have a lot of achitofels out there, and I don't know, it's hard to judge, you can't judge, it's hard to know. Maybe the Chavis Olders wasn't, that's for sure, that the Gedolim, since since the Gra, in the Litvisha world, do not follow the things we're about to learn in the Chavis Olders. In his bashing scholarly learning over, in his bashing scholarly learning at the expense of course, everybody's molded Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, no one argues with that, but at the expense of Chovos HaLevavos. So like now, you pay lip service, you learn a little Musar, you know. But it's, he wants people to delve into it more than they delve into Gemara, and he says it's more primary, it's more important, it's more basic, it's more fundamental, and like, well, why leave it off? That's what he holds, and really, but we don't do like that. So we learn the Chavis Olders, and maybe we skip the Hekdama.
What is his day? How does he portion his time then?
He doesn't say. You know, he leaves that up to the individual. And Echanami, if you could gain, let's say the men learn Chavis Halavos 10 minutes a day, and they have a total of 2 hours to learn, or 2.5. So that's, maybe I would increase the, oh no, 15 minutes we learn, not 10, 15 minutes. You know, so that's about right. Maybe I'd increase it to 20 minutes, 25 minutes, maybe the most. But, you know, you got to learn. You can't be an Amoritz. You have to learn Torah. So it's not so clear. You know, when the Rambam writes that if you're a Balabas, you don't have to learn a whole day. 9 hours is enough. That's what the Rambam writes. So, you know, you wonder who he's talking to. Right? If the Kollel guy nowadays learns 9 hours, he's like, whoa, he's a great guy. The Rambam writes, he wants a Balabas to learn 9 hours a day. Now, he assumes he does. Like he's a person who works and can't devote himself to learning. So he has, let's say, 9 hours a day to learn. So here's how he should spend his 9 hours. You know. So we're holding by 2 hours, the good ones, 3 hours. So we try. It's not, but this is all. But the Chavis Halavos is very, very harsh. And there's something to be said for it, because it's missing from Klal Yisrael. You know, You have this project Chazon I told you about. They're picking up the pieces. This project Chazon in America, Milstein and the mechanic. They're going around to yeshivas, and they're really talking about Emuna and the Yud Gimel Ikrim and the Sheish Mitzvahs to Midiyos, which are all Chovos Halavavos. And they see it's something's missing. It's not. Rav Chaim Volozhin was of the opinion that dedication to learning will have everything, you know, carry in its wake. Everything will come along. But the Chazal Vavos doesn't agree. He says, you know, you could be like, you know, you end up being like Rav Ben Avot, you know, and maybe you're learning for the wrong reason, and maybe you're learning because those people should hold of you. It's tough, you know, it's tough. So you need Gedolim to follow. We're learning Chazal Vavos, and we're learning it. That, you know, this part of the Hakdama, which I didn't want to skip, it gets worse. Is I would like even say the Lashon, we don't paskin like the Chovos Halavos. I'm not sure. Maybe a lot of our problems, like I said, with Wolf the Derech and the whole Haskalah movement and reform and conservatism, I'm a joke. The main movement against Frumkeit was reform. Conservative is just something that happens in America. They made some sort of silly compromise. There's no real conservative movement. It's really the reform was reform Judaism was the terrible, and the Haskalah took a lot of karbanos. This was all before the Holocaust. Holocaust swept all these problems under the rug. But there was she talked about it even. Stimmel, she talked about it on Tisha B'Av. So I don't know. You know, it's not for me to say. We're guided by our Gedolim, and we do the best we can. And maybe this is the basic approach. Not maybe. This is the way they paskin. We should do it. Or at least if you, like a good literature person like me. You know, my father's a Talmud of Rav Baron Kotler. My father, Olam HaShalom, was learned in Kletsk in Europe by Rav Baron Kotler. So that's pretty, heavy. Then he came and look what he did. He did Lakewood. And now there's community kollelim dotting America. So it's a tough call. So we're learning Chavis HaLavos. Maybe we don't pass on like the things the Chavis HaLavos is saying, but it's certainly worthwhile to learn because at the very least. So that's okay. Wow, we have to spend at least 15 minutes a day. See, you don't have this. I'm sorry, I shouldn't really be talking to ladies about this, because you're not even. You don't have this whole conflict. You have no excuse. You should have Chavis HaLavos. You have to teach the men.
Was the problem though that it became not even 15 minutes? It was just not that long.
Chavis HaLavos wants that to be the main part of your focus. Because it's more important, it's more fundamental, it's more tachlisdik, it's more everything. And, so you have a Shiloh, you ask a Rav, a Shiloh. Okay, again, maybe I just talk a shouldn't with women. You don't know, there's a lot of angst that goes on when people learn. Yeshivas have this problem. Or maybe they don't have the problem, and that's the problem. Okay. Anyway, he says, so people spend time. This is like a very, very a sentence that we want to censor out of the Chovos Halavos. He says, V'shem lo yodo lo yonena shalov. He wouldn't be punished. Now, he's saying if you don't know a part of Torah, you wouldn't be punished for not knowing it. Now, if you had the time to learn it, you will be punished for not knowing it, right? A person is punished for Bittul Torah. A man is punished for Bittul Torah. He means you wouldn't be punished if you were spending your time in the pursuit of Chovos Halavos. If you're missing Chovos Halavos, he's saying, this is what he's saying, if you're missing Chovos Halavos, you're missing something that's if you're missing a part of the Torah that you didn't have time to learn, so you're missing it. So you don't know that part of Torah. This is very... You can't quote this. This is like heresy nowadays to the Litvish world. Saying this gefährlich. So you don't know it. You're not going to be punished for not knowing it. I'm interpreting he means you'll be punished for bittul Torah, by the way. If I was sitting with men, I would say, don't think he doesn't, you're going to be punished if the reason you don't know that part of Torah is because of bittul Torah, because you didn't utilize your time learning. He means, but he's talking like, objectively speaking, you're not missing a brick if you don't know bava kama. This is what he's saying. Very, 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 it's something we don't accept nowadays. If you're missing bava kama, you're not missing a brick. But if you're missing an understanding of the nature of Hashem and how he's meitiv and how we have to be grateful and we have to think about how he constantly gives us things, and if there are problems, how do we deal with those problems, and we have to tackle it. So what if Hashem is so good, why is this happening to me? These are major issues and that bear a lot of thought. Right, there's nothing better than the book Kirsna. I say about it many times. Right, Jonathan Rosenblum transcribed Rabbi Kirsna's tapes on suffering. It's not just if you have cancer, chas v'shalom. It's all types of problems. It's how do you deal with it? How do you think of Hashem? Like if he's doing this to me. Lisa Aiken wrote such a book also. Why Me, God, I think it's called. It's good, you know, but there's nothing as good as Rabbi Kirsna. And so he transcribed his tapes on it. But getting back to Chavis HaLvavus, he says, if you're missing that, you're missing a wall in your building. If you're missing part of Torah, so you won't be punished for not knowing it. So.
It seems like when it comes after 120 years, versus diet, did you delve into it? Did you introspect? Did you meditate? It says, were you kovei itim? Did you sit and learn?
He's not against that. You know. He's saying, what should the primary focus of a person be? You know, if the idea is to chavis halavos, I have 2 hours a day. I have to earn parnasa, right? So I have 3 hours a day to learn. How should I apportion my time? And people ask me this all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't give them the Chavis HaLvavos answer. I tell them to come to the Chavis HaLvavos shiur and spend 15 minutes on it. But I know how they come to the shiur. They come to the shiur, they spend the 15 minutes. Half of them are doing me a favor. That they don't want the rabbi to sit there giving shiur to nobody. So they, you know. But it's good. Something sinks in. If they come every night, something sinks in. But the Chavis HaLvavos would answer, you know, spend, I don't know what he would say, but he wouldn't say spend 15 minutes. He would give a different answer. He would say the main part of your focus is this, which is also Kavei Itim, the Torah. It's all Torah. We're not talking about something that's not Torah. But if you ask nowadays, they would say, and I say the same thing. I say, okay, you learn this and learn that, and learn some halacha, and make sure you know Chumash, etc. And you should learn Chavis HaLvavos. You know, okay, come to the Chavis HaLvavos shiur. You learn 15 minutes a day. But the Chavis HaLvavos, that's the irony, that the Chavis HaLvavos wouldn't give that answer. He yells. He says, no way. And he's right. What we don't appreciate, and I'm writing a Chadash articles about this these days. We don't appreciate it. It's a lot of work, emunah, and bitachon, and it's a lot of work. It's, you know, he's going to talk about that. You tell a guy, you know, you have to Hashem Echad. He goes, yeah, thank you. You know, what else is new? And it's either like embarrassing to talk about, but to really internalize it and to understand what it means and the ramifications of it, and therefore everything that happens, so and so, and if you have a downturn in your business and things look bleak, and someone's not doing a shidduch, someone doesn't have children, or someone this, or someone that, all kinds of issues of life. It's like your whole approach to life, it's transformative. So that's what we should be spending time on. And it's not so far that 200 years after him, the Ramban writes that the point of all the mitzvahs is emunah. So you say, what do I need all the mitzvahs for emunah, man? I just, you know, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad. That's it. Like, I need all these mitzvahs to pound away with mezuzah and Shabbos. And, you know, if we'd ever sit and think, we're pounded away. And a man's supposed to be walking around a whole day with tefillin. We're supposed to be walking around all day with tefillin. And with tzitzis. Genug shine. Okay, I get the idea, you know. Hashem Echad, okay. No, it's not simple. It's very hard. Because everything we see and everything we experience pulls us away from Hashem. Pulls us away from Hashem because we see cause and effect and we see things that we don't understand. We don't have the whole picture. And it's very disheartening at times. You know, it's just, okay.